and I'd like to call the Library Advisory Board meeting to term. And in the room with me, we have Courtney Huggins and Connie Gibson, Larry Piera, Michelle Bugs, and myself. So first thing on the agenda today is the minutes of the Library Advisory Board, 26-0469. Can I get a motion to accept the minutes?
So I move we accept.
Okay, Connie and Larry for the second. All right, thank you very much. And moving right along to the next item, 26-0470, we will talk about the act on the code of conduct policy, and Spencer will be presenting.
So thank you. At the last meeting, when we had time, we shared that we had made the adjustments based on the notes given by the board previously, and we just wanted time for everyone to synthesize those before coming back and asking for kind of a final thumbs up or thumbs down or any more adjustments that we could then adopt today to move forward with this, so we could start prepping the changes, getting it through legal and all those things. So put it up. Did anybody have any additional comments after we made the changes last time?
No.
Well, if not, then I would ask if anyone would consider making a motion of support for these.
Spencer, I'll make the motion.
All right, one motion from Larry.
I'll second.
All right, Courtney. Sounds good. Hey, Stacy. Let the record show that Stacy Ridenour has just joined us as well. All right, moving right along on our agenda is item 26-0471, the summer reading program. Casey Falcons to present.
Thank you. So I have a preview of our summer reading. Thank you. So the things that are on this that you'll see is we're going to talk about the summer reading program, our special events that we'll be doing with summer reading, and the author events we'll be doing for the summer, and then just some highlights of some different programs that I wanted to showcase. So our summer reading program, our theme this year is Unearth a Story. We're going to do a similar setup to our reading program how we did last year. So we will have our bookmarks that you kind of see those templates on your screen. So everybody can pick up a summer reading bookmark, and they can collect stickers for these five different activities or read books to go along with it. So these go along with our events that we'll be doing, and also they have the option to read, and they will earn a certificate of achievement when they complete these. So we have three summer special events we'll be doing. We're gonna kick off with Dino Fest. We will have fun time entertainment out, and they're gonna have a 7-foot T-Rex and some games. We're also gonna have the Herd Museum to showcase turtles, snakes, lizards. Scales and Tails will be presenting something about reptiles and dinosaurs, so there'll be a lot of options for people the day of. In July, we're gonna be doing Geology Jamboree. Herd Museum will be out again for that one, but with a presentation on rocks. We will also have Dallas Gems and Mineral Society. They'll be doing a glowing rock activity. We have a geologist coming out who will be having a hands-on activity for families and stuff as well. And then the stream trailer demonstration, which will kind of show the effects of erosion. For our finale, we're going to be doing ancient adventures. And some of the things that will be included is Victorian Fencing Society will be coming out. They are going to do some demonstrations about weapons and history, and we'll be dressed up as gladiators. And Tony Simmons will be doing some African storytelling and song as well. Also want to talk about all the author events we'll be doing. So we're kicking off with Amanda Eyre Ward, and we'll also have Sherry Lapina and Riley Sager We've already sold out our tickets for the free event for Riley Sager, and hoping that we can do some more promotion for the other ones so we can get more out, and so also get some people signed up for our VIP events with the McKinney Foundation that they're doing, so we can get some support there as well. So just a few other things I wanted to highlight. Because it is the summer, we're going to be adding an additional K through 5th program. So we'll have Lego Bricks and More Thursdays at 2 p.m. We also had some adult partnership programs that we were able to get on the schedule for the summer. So we have one for Guiding Growth, Supporting Children, which will we're doing a partnership with a behavioral therapy organization, and then How to Start a Nonprofit, and then Heartful Meditation as well. We're also continuing doing our teen after-hours programs. Our Nerf Attack has been really popular. We get a lot of requests to continue doing it. And our other two, R2-D2, our party, and our video game trivia, our newer after-hours events, but hoping that we can get some more teens to come out. They've been really popular. They love using the library after hours. So that's it. That's all I had.
Quick
any
question.
Questions?
Sure.
Do y'all do any book signings?
So those three author events I mentioned, those are all book signings.
Oh, they are? Okay.
Yes. So those are authors that are coming out. So the free event, if they sign up for the free event, they basically can purchase the books from Half Price at those events. If they do the VIP, that includes the book and then food as well. And those, the VIP events are being hosted by our foundation, which we very much appreciate.
That's similar to what we did with the CJ Box event. So the you can register and attend for free and watch the talk, ask your questions. But the VIP, you get a little more meet and greet time because it's only 50 people in the room for the hour, and there's food, and it includes the book. But the Half Price Books is a great partner with the foundation. They'll set up to sell the books on site day of if you come. So I believe Riley Sager's is the day of his release for that title. So the first day it's out, if that 150 people who already bought their free tickets, will be able to purchase that book day one, and then the VIPs, as they sell those tickets, will be guaranteed to get their copy autographed by the author.
Question.
Yes.
On the summer special events, those three events, what are the times?
So they are all on Saturdays from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah, we found over time that Saturdays have the best turnout, especially with working parents being able to come out, and in the afternoon is the best time.
Yes, all our special events are come and go as well, so anybody can come between 10 and 1, enjoy the activities that they choose to enjoy. We are limited on our parking right now. Mm-hmm. So we have broken up all three of those into two different sessions so that we can kind of break up when people are coming in. So you can either sign up for 10 to 11:30 or 11:30 to 1. So we're hoping that doesn't cause as much congestion. And we also rented the Evans parking lot just for overflow in case we need it.
Okay. Any other questions?
All right.
Thank you, Casey.
Thanks.
All right, moving right along, the next item, 26-0472, introduction to the new planetarium coordinator. So welcome, yes. Emily Humphrey and Ed Beal.
Yes, so I'd just like to very briefly state that, you know, Ed has rejoined the library after going and starting up Anna's library. He's come back to us in a technology and systems manager role. And so Emily is the new planetarium coordinator, is on his team. And so that's why he's here, is just to, I'm just kidding. But with that, we're glad to have both of them already as they're kicking off their work here, already big contributions, big differences, but I'll let them introduce themselves after this and then answer any questions you have. So.
Well, hello, my name is Emily Humphrey, as already stated. I am an astronomer and astrophysicist from Daytona Beach, Florida. I graduated college a couple months ago, and I moved out to Texas about 2 months ago now, almost, for this job. I'm very excited to be here. This is exactly the kind of job I want to be doing, and I am doing everything I can for it.
Welcome.
As some of you know, I'm Ed Veal. I'm returning from, I was out in the wilderness for about 18 months and I'm back here.
Just to brag a little bit, there's a special laptop that comes with the planetarium with specialist software on it.
I love that laptop.
And Emily was like, when do I get the laptop? When do I get the laptop? When do I get the laptop? And how long have you had the laptop now?
I've had it for about 3 weeks now-ish.
And she's already built a show that she's done two previews for staff to get feedback. She is raring to go.
I'm shooting for a show a month, so we have a good repertoire once we actually open.
Yeah. So, and we're really excited about that. So,
if anyone here is interested in seeing the show, I'm sure we can arrange something.
Well, I would be excited to see it, yes.
The more times I can present it before opening, the better, so... It benefits me as much as you.
Yes.
Right now, the downside is you have to see it, John and Judy Gay, with the four TVs that are put together, so when the moon comes up on the screen, it's
a bit divided,
four quarters.
Yes.
We couldn't show it here?
Yeah, maybe? Josh, we could show it here. Yes. We can arrange those things.
If I can plug a computer in, I can present it.
Then the moon would just might be split in half.
Yeah.
It's instead
of but no, we're very excited about that. I think... every day she's here, she's kind of reinforcing that it was the right choice, and we think that it's just going to be great when we open up with everybody going in there. So, and I'd also mentioned there'd been a request to potentially have her talk at like a career day thing or put that out there, and I think she didn't even blink. She was like, just tell me when, and I'm there. So
mm-hmm. I love
really
Shane,
excited.
So.
Awesome.
Emily, did you say astrophysics?
Yes, I did. Wow. I majored in astronomy and astrophysics in Daytona Beach, Florida at Embry-Riddle University.
Wow.
Yeah, when we were interviewing her, we asked some questions, and then we just had to say, we're just going to believe you, because none of us know.
I remember very specifically one of the questions was, how would you describe why the sky is blue? And I gave my explanation about light scattering and wavelengths and particles in the atmosphere. And I said, did that make sense? And they're like, we're just going to believe that what you said is right, and we're just going to move on.
It's funny you say that. I was thinking that two nights ago watching something.
And why the sky's blue?
Yeah.
I mean,
and I still didn't come up with the answer.
There's your next show. There's your next show.
So do you want me to explain it real quick?
That would be great, yeah.
So the atmosphere is full of particles, mainly nitrogen, secondarily oxygen, et cetera, et cetera. And each of those particles, when light hits it, you know, like if you have a prism, you shoot a white beam into it, a rainbow comes out. It's a similar process. So light hits those particles, scatters all the wavelengths. Blue light scatters the least. The longer wavelengths scatter more. So we see that blue light the most. Vice versa, when it's sunset, it's going through more of the atmosphere, that light, because it's going horizontally through the atmosphere almost instead of vertically straight down. So it has to travel through more atmosphere, so that blue light gets scattered over more and more time, and the red light is the only thing that survives that, so sunsets are red. Same reason why the moon is red on a lunar eclipse.
That's exactly the answer I would have given.
Let it be noted in the minutes. Anyway.
Well, there you go. Any other questions?
I have a couple questions. So when the library opens, and I know there's going to be a lot of just making it happen stuff, but... Long-term wise, like for the shows, is it like you're going to have to be there to make it happen, or is it going to be like you push play and go, or how does that like...
So I'm shooting for a mix of live shows and some automated shows in between, just so I can have a break, get some work done, not talk myself to death every day. And for now, it is me, and I'm learning all the software, and I'm making my shows, and I'm finding the automated shows that I like, because there are some automated shows where you can just hit play and everything is done for you. Mm-hmm. So once I get a little more trained up on the programming, I am going to start bringing in, I'm going to work with Spencer and some other management at the library, and we're going to find people that we think would be best to also learn the programming. So because I can't work 7 days a week, there's going to be days where I get sick, and we're going to train some other people in the library. We're going to cross-train them and make them able to run the programming when I'm not there. And then they're going to be doing the automated shows.
And then is it going to be where you guys set, like, this month, these are the shows we're doing? Or is there going to be, like, a catalog so if people wanted to put in, sorry, I'm a homeschool educator, and so I'm thinking, but I'm also thinking field trips down the road. So I'm thinking, mm-hmm. like, if schools are like, hey, I'm interested in this one, is it, like, they can pick from a catalog? Or is there, like, set ones for each, like, I'm just curious.
I think what I'm going to be shooting for is a bit of a split, have Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Wednesday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, whatever days, and have a set schedule. And then if there are field trips, if there are things like that, we can always work with the educators of what would be best for their field trip.
And just a heads up, later this summer, we will likely be bringing a draft field trip policy proposal because we're waiting for the exhibits coordinator to come on board so we can have everybody in the room together to draft what works, how far in advance, what days, all the how does that work?
Yep.
Like you've got a scout troop who really wants to learn about this, you know, do we create a special show for them? I don't know how difficult it is. You know, those kind of things. Mm-hmm. But we need that policy in place because we, you know, if you're a school in Sherman, this might be part of a field trip for you, and how do we prioritize? Who do we prioritize? How do we prioritize?
And yeah. So until we have everyone on board, yeah. until we have that policy written, I can only assume it's going to be case by case, but I'm sure that will change.
We're going to try to make it not. We're going to try to make it pretty standard so that we can, you know, serve everyone equally and fairly and prioritize how we need to. But it's not just field trips. It could be, you know, 30 people want to come because their extended family's in town or whatever.
Senior center comes over.
Exactly. Yeah. So we just have to figure out large groups and field trips is something that we're going to be working on. It's a good problem to have, managing that demand or anticipated demand. But Emily will be definitely part of that because, you know, what days is she working? Who's back up? Yep. What kind of show do you get? Those kind of things.
Can I give one just suggestion? Is if at all possible, maybe pitch to the public some of the shows, because schools have to plan ahead of way ahead of time for field trips, for budget, for they months ahead of time. And so I'm not in the public sector, but for them, it would might be helpful. Like
we typically plan 6 months out or more. Now the way these some of the play, you know, press play and go movies, we will have access to. We'll have basically a year at a time where we select four, and then we can show those four unlimited for that year in addition to everything else so that we will know what they are and we will know what's coming next year if we want to keep them or change them mm-hmm. and do all that.
And I've already got a bit of a schedule worked yes. out Perfect. For myself of what shows I want to be playing when.
Yeah. Yep, that's awesome.
Do you envision whether hiring or partnering with interns and stuff from local universities?
I would like to set up an internship program. Obviously, that is much further in the future.
That was a day two conversation she brought to me.
It actually was one of the first things I said yes. I wanted to do. That was one of my goals, to establish an internship program for high schools, universities. But that is very far in the future. Right now, I'm trying to focus on opening, and I hope to do something like that in the future.
The city, through the city manager's office, offers internships to college students this year. If you see, I think there's one in Visit McKinney that's open right now. The timing just wasn't right for us to put one in because they're summer internships and we're not going to be open. But that is definitely, we're going to push to throw our hat in the ring to have one of those every summer for the planetarium.
There's also an active Collin College Astronomy Club and you know, astronomy group there as well that we can lean on as well.
And since you are new here, I graduated from UTA in Arlington, the cowboy country, many decades ago. And at that time, they had a beautiful planetarium over there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, I'm assuming they still have it.
Hmm. They do have one there. That's the one she hasn't been to yet.
It's really nice. So, you know, it's a consideration for you from...
I'll add it to my list of places to visit. I've been trying to go out and tour some other working planetariums in the area just to kind of get a feel for how they work and what the public wants and what they're providing for the public so we can do something that's, one, unique from all those other places, but still fulfill the needs of the people.
Yeah, that's one to consider for sure.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, next up is the director's report, 26-0473.
Here we Spencer? Go. So as always, these are looking a little backwards for us, but April, we did see kind of a larger decline in circulation than we have recently, but I want to point out we also did not. So when you look at all these numbers, half of our parking has been taken over by construction. So we intentionally limited certain things. So we had it in our annual strategic goals to host a traveling exhibit on environmental awareness. We had plans. We'd already made contact to rent a monarch butterfly traveling exhibit that would have fit in John and Judy Gay. But when we learned that our parking lot was going to be under construction, we thought we cannot invite massive people here when we don't have a place for them to be. If you go there, even with voting, even with the runoff of a primary, the parking lot's full. So when you look at some of these, but we still checked out a lot of materials for last April, about 10,000 less, but more than we did in 2022, roughly what we did in 2023. So in one location, share that. If you scroll down, all the pictures on here are from our Earth Day event. So typically, in a typical year, our Earth Day event would probably get 500 people, 400 to 500 people. This year it had about 200, mostly because where are you going to go? When your parking lot's full, it fills up. So we added 776 new members, and we still had almost or over 12,500 unique people borrow at least one item. So on the borrowers, it says hall. That purple line is the percentage of people who checked out at the City Hall holds locker. So there were 342 people throughout April who used that locker, which is great, but there were 7,000 people or 7,700 people who used John and Judy Gay. So it's a different level of busyness, but we're still able to serve people on this side of town using that. And then digital materials continue to go up or continue to be popular, but 35-36% is pretty high for our percentage. We think a lot of people who would come to Hall are using those that aren't using the book lockers. And then when you look by programs, we offered, that's our programs that we offered by age. We only have one building. We can't offer the same number of programs because you can't have two programs in the same space at the same time. And then April attendance, you'll see that huge spike from all ages. That was our kite fly event with the 22,900 drove a lot of that April. But overall, attendance was down, but not as far as we would imagine given one of our locations. Again, I know you hear that every month, but it's really impacting. We still satisfied over 10,000 holds. So those are items that people placed on hold that we found for them and transported all the ones in yellow at the bottom. So 889. So we saw that 300 and something people checked out 889 items from the locker. And then study room hours used are down a little bit, but that also goes to the everything else. When you don't have the parking and you can't just stop in. Interestingly, those hours are consistent across certain hours of the day. And then like the first hour, they're not so busy, but it just depends on the day of the week. But those three rooms are pretty well utilized, and we can't wait for the 9 at Hall to alleviate some of that burden. So,
Spence, a quick question.
Yes, sir.
On that previous slide. With 3 hours ago, with Wolford closing for good, do you guys see any negative impact in terms of attendance and or at least in the times of days?
For what, sorry?
With Wolford closing?
Oh,
Wolford Elementary?
Yeah, no, I don't. I mean, we've seen some trends in the time I've been here where our picture book circulation has lessened as a percentage while our next level up has increased, which I think we see that a little bit with our programs. There are programs like a baby's program is only going to have 8 to 10 people in it. So there are always going to be 8 to 10 people who are going to be filling those spots. But on our big programs, we've just seen maybe the kids get a little older, but not necessarily. I wouldn't say that that's been an indicator of any drop off in that. Now, in 5 years, 5 more years, 6 more years, will it be, hey, we got to really ramp up our teen programs and we got to really ramp up our programs for, you know, 20-year-olds? That's probably an ongoing trend in McKinney unless things change. But that's most of Collin County actually right now. Like Allen, obviously, Allen ISD's had to close some schools and they're dealing with it, and Frisco as well. It's not just Collin County. Where I live in Flower Mound, they closed an elementary school last year. And that's...
It's funding for all over Texas.
Yeah, it's funding, it's aging population, it's affordability. If you have 3 young kids, where can you afford to live? If you already lived in McKinney, you're probably fine, but if you're moving to McKinney, it's a whole lot easier to find a place to live that's not McKinney on the outskirts. So, and then volunteer hours, again, 386 volunteer hours in one location. So last April, that 441 was in 2 spots. So we have some regular volunteers who do great work. They come every day. They really help us out. And then the teens, if you did not see the post from the McKinney Library Foundation with the scholarship that was given every year, now for the 2nd year, but they intend moving forward, a teen will get a $1,000 scholarship. If they have, and one of the criteria is they have to volunteer at least 20 hours at the library in that year, and get a recommendation from a library staff member. So they actually have to be there and build a relationship and build those skills. And the kid this year is just great. He did great work for us and just a good kid. And that's part of that volunteer hours. So any questions on any of that? At our next meeting, I will have a hall update, but it's not ready.
So I'll open it up now to if there's anything from the board, if anyone has anything.
I just want to say I toured the renovation. I was so impressed with everything staff has done. The attention to detail as far as even how comfortable the chairs are, but not too comfortable, and the arrangement of everything. And Mike Kowski with MEDC was taking the tour at the same time, and you could just see the wheels turning in his head about, and he even said something about bringing prospects to town and using the planetarium as a way to highlight McKinney. So I feel like it's going to be used in so many different ways. I'm just really so impressed and excited.
I haven't seen it yet, but I'm looking forward to it.
It's really cool.
We will try come probably July, when it's a fully air-conditioned space, try to do an evening tour so everybody who is busy during the day can make it out. And those who've gone before, come again, because you'll see massive. So they've painted all the ductwork in certain areas black, which is what's going to be so it disappears above the floating ceiling. Even when they did that, night and day change. Like they added windows, night and day change, every little thing. So it'll be like a brand new place if you come again.
Yeah, Spencer was telling me earlier that right now the elevators are there taken apart. Yeah. So if anybody's interested to see an elevator all broken up, this is the time to go.
It's a lot of boxes,
Thanks, Connie. Anybody else? So I have one item. And it is in regards to the McKinney Public Library Foundation. So Stacy and I are, I met with the Library Foundation in March, so I apologize, I was going to bring this last month, but something happened, I wasn't able to attend. But I know there were some questions from the board with us serving in that capability and support as a liaison if others could go, because we've both been going for quite some time, and now it's just been to a point where, from a scheduling perspective, I haven't been able to do as much, putting a bigger burden on.
Yeah.
Stacy from there. So it would be nice to be able to share it across the board. And the Library Foundation loved the idea, actually, because then they would get additional exposure to all of us on the board and being able to get to know from there. And Stacy and I would still be sitting and serving as the liaisons, but you would also be able to go in, attend the meeting, provide advisory, you know, from there, and then also come back to this meeting and share. If there is a instance, so I did bring a sign-up sheet tonight, and so and they meet once a month. It's on a Tuesday at 6:30 p.m. at John and Judy Gay. It's usually like the last Tuesday of the month. It usually follows right after this meeting, so the Tuesday following this meeting. So if you would be so kind, if you're interested, I know some of you already raised your hand and said that you would do it. If I can get your name and your email. And that way, I can also help support, because I promised Robin, who's the secretary, that she will still continue to forward the meeting minutes to both of us. And I told her that if one of us aren't able, if someone from the board is not able to attend, we still have those minutes and we can kind of relay information between the two boards and kind of keep it going. Because the whole point was just for us to be able to liaison between each other. So I will have this sheet and sign up for after we adjourn. You can just kind of come over and sign up. And if you plod your email, I will do a little email introduction to Robin, and that way she'll send you a little reminder to make sure that, you know, when you come, when it is your turn. So, any questions on that?
Sounds good.
All right. Well, if there's nothing else, I will motion for to adjourn the meeting.
Motion to adjourn.
All right. Larry and... Was it Courtney or Connie?
Yeah.
Okay.
One of us in a second.
All right. Sounds good.
Everybody's in favor.
Meeting adjourned. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Can I see that?
Yeah.